Well, it is my joy and privilege this evening to welcome the Reverend and Mrs. Smiley along to the meeting here this Sabbath evening. I want to thank them for taking time to come along. The Reverend Smiley has just recently retired from the pastoral ministry, but he has not hung up his boots. In fact, I think we'll probably have to redefine the dictionary meaning of the word retired, because he is currently the interim moderator of our Carrickfergus congregation. He's also the chairman of the academic committee, which is responsible for the training and the syllabus of the Whitfield College of the Bible, and for looking after the principal as well and keeping him right. But maybe I better not say that, seeing he's in the meeting. But we praise God for both the men's work in looking after our college, because that is the future even of our denomination. And as if that's not enough, Reverend Smiley will be taking on the role of prison chaplain in McGabbery coming into the new year as well. When I was in our Cumber Church, he was just up the road in Ballygowan, and we did several joint missions during that time. And it was through that time that I got to know our brother and became more friendly with him. He has been very influential in our whole denomination, and I would like to thank him for coming. And I'm going to ask him just to come at this stage of the meeting and tell us simply of where he met the Lord and how the Lord has saved him by his wondrous grace.
I'd like to thank the Reverend Murray for the words of welcome. Don't know about the welcome to the other ministers, but I'm reminded of Reverend Baxter, of course, a unique character, Reverend Trevor Baxter. And on many occasions, when I was in Ballygowan during the summer when he was minister in Ballinahinch, I would have slipped in there on a Sunday morning or Sunday night. Usually he was sitting outside on the wall before I got in, and he would say, "Clear off," or "Can you not find somewhere else to go, or can you not go to the chapel?" Well, if you know Reverend Baxter, you'll know, of course, he would say things like that. But it's good to have fellowship with you tonight. People keep saying to me, "How are you enjoying retirement?" I don't know what retirement is. It's reassignment, I think. That's what it is as far as my own ministry is concerned, and many others who are in retirement as well, no doubt, many things to do for the Lord still. And we do thank Reverend Murray for his opportunity, the welcome and the invitation to come tonight to share with you our testimony. We're going to read some verses from the Word of God in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're reading together from this portion of God's Word. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8 to the end of the chapter, please. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. "Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By the which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his precious, infallible word to all our hearts. Let's just bow for a moment of prayer, please. Our gracious God and loving Father, we come to thee tonight. We're thankful for the grace of God in our lives, that where sin abounded, grace doth much more abound. We thank thee, Lord, for so great salvation. We thank thee, O God, for thy mercy extended to us. Lord, we thank thee that thou didst choose us in Christ even before the foundation of the world. O God, we rejoice in that electing love. We thank thee, O God, for the great wonder of eternal life that thou hast imparted to us. And Lord, we come tonight and we pray for help in this meeting. We pray that thou wilt speak to those who listen, whether believers or unbelievers. We pray that thou wilt speak to any who maybe are cold at heart. We pray that thou wilt work in lives tonight for thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to refer you to a verse that we read just a moment or two ago. It's found there in verse 15 of 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, and I'm quoting in part of the verse here, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that it's in you with meekness and fear. Be ready to testify. Be ready and willing to speak of the grace of God in one's life. To confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And of course, Scripture is full of testimony. And I'm thinking particularly of the example of the Apostle Paul, who having been saved on the Damascus Road, Acts chapter 9, that wonderful encounter that he had with the Lord Jesus. And then, of course, his willingness to testify of the grace of God in his life before the highest in positions of power in his day, in the most difficult of circumstances, facing trial and facing great persecution and all that would lie before him. Yet in Acts chapter 22, and again in Acts chapter 26, we discover the Apostle Paul willingly and in a detailed manner giving confession of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Paul has said to the Romans in chapter 1 of Romans and verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Paul was not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we would say in the words of the psalmist, in Psalm 66 and verse 16, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what God hath done for my soul. And tonight, I can testify to the grace of God in my life. I had the most blessed of privileges, of being born into a Christian home in a place perhaps unknown to most tonight, a place called Cleena, a townland in County Fermanagh, just on the border with County Cavan. That's where I was born, a few hundred yards from the border. The youngest of five, seven altogether if all had lived. Three boys and two girls, three girls rather and two boys survived. And I was the only one to be born in County Fermanagh. My mother and father moved back to the farm that my mother inherited from her grandparents. And of course, then I was born at home at Cleena, County Fermanagh. I was brought up in a Christian environment. I can remember from my earliest days, my father, busy on the farm as he was, coming in and opening the Bible on the kitchen table and reading God's word before we went out to school and praying with us. I can remember lying in bed at night and my father praying. And as he prayed, he mentioned my name and the names of my siblings as he prayed for our salvation. I was sent to church and Sabbath school, a little place, Ballyhoe Bridge Presbyterian Church. Well, if you blinked, you would miss it. But that's where I was brought to church and Sunday school. It was a few miles from our home. I remember many occasions we didn't have such a good car and wouldn't start, and sometimes my brother would take me on the bar of the bicycle. Health and safety wasn't so good in those days, and he would have brought me to Sunday school. But sadly, I can never say that I heard the gospel in that church. I believe that my Sunday school teacher, a lovely lady, but she was unconverted. But I did hear the gospel in gospel missions. I can never remember being brought to gospel missions by my parents that were held around that district. And I heard the word of God faithfully preached. But in those early formative years of my life, I was not saved. My father took ill in his late 40s and had to give up farming. And so we moved to Belfast when I was age 9. And so my early years were spent on the farm, attending Newton Butler Primary School. And then, at the age of 9, we moved to the Ravenhill Road in Belfast. And my father and mother ran a boarding house to make a living. Then I was sent to Rosetta Primary School and Park Braid Secondary School, just off the Ravenhill Road. But again, I was brought under the sound of the gospel, and my parents were faithful in bringing me to church. We attended Ravenhill Presbyterian Church, where my father was an elder. We sat under the ministry of a godly man, Dr. Thomas Fitch, a friend of Duncan Campbell's, a Scottish man. I was brought to Sunday school, and you know, I was greatly privileged to have godly Sunday school teachers in those years. Particularly remember a man by the name of Mr. Beatty. I believe now he's promoted to glory. But he was faithful. He had what I would call a class of brats. Very cheeky. I was one of them. But he was faithful. I can remember him urging us to come to Christ. With the tears running down his face, he pleaded with that class of boys who had really no interest in listening to him. Rather, their interest was in disrupting the class. And yet he was faithful in teaching us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, I was taught the catechism, the child's catechism, and the shorter catechism. In fact, it's not that long ago that I met another Sunday school teacher who I believe in recent times again has passed into the presence of the Lord, and he taught me the shorter catechism. But I was not saved. My dad used to bring me to hear Dr. Paisley preach. He preached with such power. I can remember those meetings just as a lad in the old Ravenhill Church, absolutely bunged. Standing room only. In fact, I can remember standing, listening to Dr. Paisley preach, listening to other men who preached at gospel missions. I remember walking from our home on the Ravenhill Road down Park Road, down the Ormer Road. I don't think you'd walk down the Lower Ormer Road today, but we did in those days. We walked the whole way to the Ulster Hall where the evening gospel services were held. Listen to God's word. I remember standing for the whole of those services. Such was the crowd. 3 and 4 deep, people standing around, as well as the people that were seated downstairs and on the balcony in the Ulster Hall, and hearing Dr. Paisley preach the word of God. And then walked home again. Those meetings in the ministry of Dr. Paisley left a lasting impression upon my life. I can still recall some of those messages he preached. It's amazing how those messages, powerful as they were, come back on the wings of memory, down the years, come back clearly to your mind as he preached the word of God. But I was still not saved. You see, I was born in a Christian home, but I wasn't born a Christian. But then the Spirit of God began to move in my heart. And I was born again on the 15th of January, 1969. We attended a mission in the Christian Workers Union Hall in Lisburg, conducted by Reverend Sam Workman. And I can remember one particular night coming home from that meeting and at my own bedside, there, 153 Ravenhill Road, I knelt on my own bedside and came to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was saved by God's grace. You know, salvation's a real thing. Are you saved tonight? Have you had that moment in your life when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted in the Savior? And that night, I was born again. And you know, many times I still pass by that house. It's still there, 153 Ravenhill Road. In fact, as you slow down, there's lights there just at the corner of Park Road. You slow down at the lights and I look up to that front bedroom where I was saved. An unforgettable experience. And here I am down through the years, looking back through the corridors of time, and recalling that moment when I trusted Christ. It's as fresh in my mind and in my heart tonight as it was the moment I was saved. Have you had the experience of the new birth? Have you been born again? The Bible says you must be born again. Salvation. In the years that followed, I was at secondary school, probably one of the toughest schools in Belfast at the time. People used to stand back and look at you if you said you went to Park Parade. And that's where I went. But amazingly, amidst the hundreds of boys and girls that went to that school, there were believers. One of whom, an elder in Martyrs today, and him and I remain friends to this day, and we met at school. I always say he's a few years older than me, but that's where we met, and of course then we met up at church as well as he began to attend the Martyrs Memorial. And so Why did I struggle through those teenage years at school? Yet I had a grounding in the things of God through my upbringing and through the Christian friends that I linked up with. And how important, young people, it is, your company, who you fellowship with, who you are friends with. The Bible speaks about those whom we fellowship together with. We fellowship one with another. And of course, our chief fellowship is with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I thank God for Christian friends. I thank God for the fact that in those years I started to attend the Martyrs Memorial Church at the opening of the church. In 1969, I started to go to those meetings. I was still in the Boys Brigade and Ravenhill Presbyterian, the Boys Brigade Bible class. I used to slip out after the Bible class and slip up the road, with my parents' permission, of course, to go to Martyrs Memorial. Those were remarkable days. I can never forget the preaching from the pulpit in Martyrs Memorial. I can never forget the powerful ministry of Dr. Paisley. Those were great days, and I owe so much to the ministry and preaching and the example of Dr. Ian R. K. Paisley. And so there was salvation, but then there was separation, and the Lord brought me out of the Irish Presbyterian Church. And just as a teenager, the Lord showed me that I needed to separate, that I needed to join a church that was outside the camp, standing for the great principles of God's Word, upholding the great tenets of the faith, standing firm and resolute for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord taught me something about separation. And I became involved in the youth fellowship, became involved in the outreach work, eventually became a teacher in the Sunday school. I was still a teenager. And yet God was giving me this spiritual development, this growing in grace in these early formative years of my Christian life. And I thank God for godly elders in Martyrs Memorial. I thank God for those godly friends. In fact, in later years, one of them became my clerk of session, James Bennison. He was a friend when I was in the youth fellowship. And in the last few years of my ministry in Ballygowan, he became my clerk of session. How the Lord works things out. And so, there was salvation and separation. But then there was supplication. You see, the Lord taught me something about prayer, and something I trust that I will never lose. And again, I listened to the powerful praying of Dr. Paisley. I can remember half nights of prayer. The late Reverend Robert Ormerod and Reverend David Priestley, men like that, joined together, late nights of prayer, maybe 10:30 into the early hours of the morning, and sometimes in the middle, and this was in the middle of all the troubles, suddenly Dr. Paisley would arrive in to the prayer meeting, and the thing would just lift. It was being lifted up to heaven, because this man was in touch with God. This man was in communion with God. And I never forget those prayers, and I never forget those prayer meetings. In fact, our house on the Ravenhill Road became a bit of a stopover for those guys, because they ended up in our house at 3:00 in the morning, staying over to the next morning and making their way home. Sometimes we had to persuade the late Reverend Ormerod not to cross the Albert Bridge at that time of night and walk over to the Shankill Road where he lived, where he was going to walk home. We persuaded him to stay. But times of great prayer. And then, of course, not only salvation, not only separation, not only supplication, but service. We were engaged in service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was the thing that was going on. There was powerful prayer meetings, but there was powerful activity for God round the doors in the district, reaching out to boys and girls, to young people, to men and women. I can remember looking down from the gallery in the Martyrs on Sunday night, and there was a whole row of guys from Park Parade School. A whole row of them in the service. God was working in those times. God was bringing people in under the sound of the Word of God. Oh, for those days again. Oh, for a visitation again. As we had in those days, I can remember those meetings and people coming out, not only in ones and twos, but scores of people. I can remember the Wednesday night prayer meetings and saying, "Did you hear how many got saved on Sunday night?" It was like that hymn, "What's the news? What's the news? What's the order of the day? What's the news?" And the news was about the conversion of souls. Young people, middle-aged people, older people coming to Christ. But then there was that personal call to service, the call to the ministry. And that came early in 1974. When I heard Dr. Kearns preach on the will of God, I was sitting on the stairway in the old church, which became the church hall down Glentoran Street, the Ravenhill Road. I haven't been in that building for many years, but I can picture in my mind exactly where I was sitting. Dr. Kearns preached on the will of God, and God put his hand upon me that night and called me to preach the glorious gospel of Christ. I remember going to my minister, Dr. Paisley, and saying to him, "I went with great fear. I feel that God has called me to the ministry." He looked at me and he said, "Young man, can you do anything else?" For a minute, I didn't know what to say. And then I said, "No, I can't." Well, he said, "Young man, the Lord has called you. The Lord has called you." And you know, it was so true, and I often go back to that. I often go back to Dr. Kearns' message and his preaching on the night when I felt and knew that God had called me. I applied to the presbytery for training in 1974 and commenced the following month, October 1974, to train for the ministry. It was known as the Class of 74. I think Mr. Whiteside was there a bit before that. He was finishing up when I was just starting, but it was quite a crowd. Quite a crowd. Some fellowship. Some laughter as well. But some serious business done as we prepared ourselves for the ministry of the gospel. And you know, God was working at that time. God was working right across this province. People were being saved. Churches were opening. And God was moving in a mighty way. People were being separated outside the camp to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I began the task of training for the ministry. Being not the brightest person, it wasn't easy. Maybe easier for somebody else. For others, wasn't easy for me, but we're thankful to the Lord for getting us through. And then for opening doors of ministry for us in Dromore as a student for some time before we were called to the church in Carrigarry in 1979. And of course, during my period of training, I met my wife. And we were married in June 1979. And for 43 years, Vivian has been by my side, strong, steadfast, supportive in all the work I've been involved in. Wise and discerning too. Constructively critical when she needs to be, but always when I needed it most. Sometimes we need to listen to our wives. Probably you've all learned that anyway. You have no option. But in 2013 was the lowest point of my life when my wife was diagnosed with cancer. But the Lord spared her. And she's here tonight as a testimony to what the Lord can do, how the Lord answered prayer. I thank God for my parents who taught me the gospel. I thank God for my godly in-laws, my wife's parents, Robert and Hazel Black, great supporters in every way, as far as our work and service for the Lord was concerned. Wise and discerning in their counsel as well. And you know, when we think tonight about our testimony, we think about salvation, we think about separation, we think about service, but we think also about steadfastness. For all of these years, the Lord has enabled me in that He put me into the ministry. And for 53 years, that's a long time on the Christian path. The Bible says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I've let the Lord down. I've failed many times. But the Lord has never failed me. You say, how did you keep it? I didn't keep it. People say to me, I couldn't keep salvation. They're right. They couldn't. You never will. But the Bible says we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. We have many temptations. We have many trials. We have many tears. We have many traumas. But we have many triumphs. Having obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day. And we continue to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We rely upon His promises. And so there's not only steadfastness, but finally there's satisfaction. I'm satisfied with my Savior tonight. I'm satisfied with the one who is my Lord and my Redeemer. He means everything to me. We used to sing that chorus, He is my everything, He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. And what satisfaction the Savior brings. I'm satisfied with serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I may have retired from pastoral ministry, but I'm still serving the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, my wife said to me, you're busier than when you were in the pastorate. Busier now. Unbelievable. I thought of a Sunday off this morning, a Sunday morning off. I get a call on Friday night. I ended up in Newton Arts this morning. Can't even get a Sunday off. But there you are. Opportunities to continue to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to be a signpost to point souls to Christ. To say to men and to women and young people, and to you tonight, listening to this testimony, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And one day I shall be eternally satisfied. As the psalmist said, I shall be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. And when we get to the other side and are with the Savior forever, what satisfaction that will be. Will you meet me there? Will you meet me in heaven? Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. What about you today? Have you been wasting your life the pleasures of sin? Like the prodigal in riotous living? Oh, that you'll come to yourself and come to your senses and come home to the Father's house tonight. Sinner, come home. Backslider, return. Be restored. There's a man in Ballygowan, and for years he got very angry when I preached. Got very, very angry. It's always good when people get angry, you know. This man was a backslider for over 30 years. And one particular day, he got very so angry that he tackled me at the door about a hymn that I had chosen for the service, because it was a hymn that had been sung at his father's funeral. And obviously he was convicted. And he used to try and come at times when he thought, I'd be preaching more to believers. But then I would sometimes switch it. And sometimes I would preach a double-barreled message, as we would say, to both. But one night I was speaking to his wife and I said to her, what about your husband? We're praying for him. She went home that night. She said, Mr. Smiley was asking about you. He said, he's praying for you. He said, I have something to tell you. I've come back to the Lord. He got on the phone that night and he said, Mr. Smiley, I have something to tell you. I've been restored to the Lord. He was driving a bus. He's a bus driver. He's driving the bus to Cumber. And he was so convicted, he started to sweat. He had to stop the bus. People on board the bus, and he stopped the bus to get right with God. Came back to the Lord. Maybe you're a wanderer tonight. Maybe you need to come back to the Lord. Believer, invest your time and your talents for the Lord Jesus Christ. Occupy till I come. 53 years in the Church of Christ. What a privilege. What a blessing. What an investment in time for eternity. 43 and a half years in the pastoral ministry until my retirement. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done.